Discourse on Factions, the Chains of Oppression by Gary Hunt, Outpost of Freedom. Episode 5, Factions for Political Purposes and Conclusion. Let's suppose that a faction, a group of people with power and in control, wanted to create a situation where this country was filled with factions, each being against one or more of the other factions. As in times past, coalitions will be formed, but they will be weak. I will be speaking from the perspective of a government endeavoring to achieve that end. However, at that point, it would be easy for those who have the best control now to increase that control under the guise of maintaining law and order without regard to the Constitution. This would allow us to manipulate the lesser factions, turning them one against the other. So, if we are looking from the government's perspective, what is the first step in the implementation of that plan? Well, first we need some factions. However, our immigration policy was designed to foster assimilation, not faction, so we will have to revise the immigration policy. Quotas, education, experience requirements, criminal records check, etc., so that we can remove that or what we can without exposing our plan. We can even provide amnesty to a large amounts of people, even those who could care less about what being an American is, only concerned about what they can get for free and how much money they can make and send home. By granting amnesty, we will have removed any requirement, for that matter, any incentive to learn the language and assimilate into the American way of life. That, however, will not be enough to get the job done as quickly as we would like. So what can we do to create factions large enough to generate the conflict that we would need to strengthen our control over the people? Suppose we ignore the laws on immigration that are on our books, and then we can also keep the states from enforcing federal law, since it is our duty, not theirs. We can allow hundreds of thousands to cross the border illegally. If they are caught by the charade we have in front of the people to catch them, the U.S. Border Patrol and Immigration and Customs Enforcement, we can let them go on their own recognizance until their hearing. That will give them the opportunity to disappear and still stay within the country. Everybody that comes in will be part of a faction, so we will set no limits on what or who is allowed to bypass our immigration laws. That will shorten the time to the uprising of the factions considerably. So what else can we do? Well, if we can create inflation, the purchasing power of the average citizen will be down, so they will be primed and ready to blame any faction for whatever befalls them. They will not blame us because we're going to act like we know what we're doing and that it is not government, rather the foreigners, who are creating the problem. We can aggravate the situation even more by having looser laws for immigrants than we have for citizens. We are trying it in California, where when someone is stopped for DUI, if they are a citizen, their car gets impounded. If they are not a citizen, we will let them keep their car, even if they don't have a driver's license. That should really begin to create tension, and if it works, we can spread it to other states. We will also keep the wars going so that people are thinking about waving the flag while we trample it into the dirt. They think that we are protecting them, though we are actually distracting them and keeping their attention on the wars rather than seeing what is behind the curtain. Our final tool has been in place for many years. It includes the sociological implications of political correctness and diversity. We have planted that seed well so that if anybody steps out of line, those around them will force them back into compliance. We can see how well that is working by not allowing anybody to recognize the different factions with different interests working at odds with each other even exist. I don't believe that it will be very long before we are forced to rule this country with an iron fist. Our plan is so well laid that we cannot fail. Conclusion. On December 12, 1775, the deputies of the province of Maryland passed a number of resolves. Perhaps the most significant was the last. resolved unanimously that it is recommended to the several colonies and provinces to enter into such or like resolution for mutual defense and protection as are entered into by this province. As our opposition to the settled plan of the British administration to enslave America will be strengthened by a union of all ranks of men in this province, we do most earnestly recommend that all former differences about religion or politics, and all private animosities and quarrels of every kind, from henceforth cease and be forever buried in oblivion. And we entreat, we conjure every man by his duty to God, his country, and his posterity, cordially to unite in defense of our common rights and liberties. Just 4 months before the outbreak of war, the colonists had realized the necessity of having a common interest, avoiding any factionalization that might be detrimental to the cause. Their goal at the time was for the rights of Englishmen. Over time, it evolved into independence from British rule. Our goal is much simpler. It is simply a restoration of the written Constitution and its government. However, if we cannot learn from the past and realize that the principal faction is our common element and that subordinate factions, faction issues must be, at least until such time as we have returned to proper constitutional government, buried in oblivion, we cannot expect the success that Providence granted to the founders and us, their posterity. Adherence to the principal faction, above all else, is the goal that we need to pursue and achieve in as short a time as possible. For until that goal is achieved and we have identified those who are in opposition to that faction, we cannot even begin to pursue the ultimate goal of restoration. To all who are members of the subordinate factions, consistent with the Constitution, it is only necessary to set aside the lesser for the more important faction. For those who are members of subordinate factions inconsistent with the Constitution, you have a more difficult decision to make. Can you subordinate your faction so that it is not inconsistent with the Constitution? If not, then you should find a country that allows and supports such a faction as you choose to adhere to. To achieve proper recognition of the principal faction, we cannot allow ourselves to succumb to political correctness, which has relegated our Constitution to the back seat. To allow lip service to the Constitution is to undermine its very tenets and purpose, and it is to fail before we have begun. Thus ends the discourse on factions, the chains of oppression.